We'll be talking about the birds of Wisconsin coming up now here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and really pleased to have with us by phone today Steve Bechtol of Eau Claire. He's been chasing birds across Wisconsin and the North American continent for about 40 years now, almost 40. He writes about birds for the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, is a regular columnist for Wisconsin West magazine, and is the author of the book All of This and Robins Too, a guide to the 50 or so best places to find birds in Wisconsin. It's a self-published book. It came out in September. And Steve Bechtol with us by phone. Steve, are you there?
I am, Larry. Hi.
Hi. I tell you what, I remember very well Noel Cutright's enthusiastic endorsement at Thanksgiving, and that helped sell your book out there, didn't it?
It did. I thank you to Noel for that little plug. I had a rush on books that helped me to sell out the first printing. I'm now doing a second edition.
That's wonderful. And so second edition, so people will be able to get copies of it fairly soon?
Yes, they can. It'll be ready just about Christmas. And I would be happy to disperse them either directly or through the outlets I have established to anybody who would like to get one.
Excellent. Well, you've done a lot of traveling around the state to see birds.
I have. And in putting together this book, I was putting in about 4,000 miles a year doing it. But boy, was it fun getting around. Now, we should discuss at some point in this program the ethics of doing that and of driving around and using gasoline up. But, you know, I had to put in a lot of research to get the spots done. And by my own history, I guess I've had the opportunity to visit and live in a lot of spots. I, of course, live in Eau Claire, which looks a lot like a winter postcard today. But yeah. I was born and raised in Racine. I went to school in La Crosse. I worked in summer camps in Burnett County and in Grant County. I went to school in Appleton. And so my in-laws are from Two Rivers, Wisconsin, in Manitowoc. So over time, I've been able to hit a lot of spots and from these places jump off into other places. And one day I realized, boy, I've been around, and I thought I'd take this project on.
Well, you know, I haven't read the whole book, but I've gone through pieces of it. And you've got a nice writing style. It's kind of a breezy, very conversational style. I get it's almost as though you're there in person telling me about where to go and what to do in terms of seeing birds around the state.
Yeah, if you want to take a few more minutes to finish up, I'll wait. But, the first-person approach is something that I wanted to try here. I wanted to make it that it was me who's been to these spots, and it's me telling you about these spots, and I'm able then to be loose enough to laugh along, play along, and have some fun with the book, which is one of the major objectives. I felt that I have not found a bird book that had this approach. Now, a lot of bird books will tell you to go 1.8 miles and turn left, point your binocular at bird. But, you know, I haven't seen a lot of bird books that tout the culture of a state or allow themselves to have fun. Now, I probably needed an editor to whack me upside the head a few times during the writing of this. It probably would have shortened it up and, you know, tightened it up. But I sure had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm still waiting to hear whether, you know, people respond well to it and can tolerate the jokes and the playing around. So,
well, and I enjoy the little note that you had inside the book, which is, here's your copy of your new book. I hope you'll find it so useful that you wear it out and you buy another one soon.
Yes, right. The whole idea is to, promote the book and sell it. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people, I think there's a saying that I've been tossing about it. People, you can't have enough good bird books. And if you talk to bird watchers, we are suckers for bird books. We buy any bird book that's out there. But the world of bird finding is still a pioneer science. We have so much to learn about these places, and they change constantly. Some of these places, when I went into them, I had to draw the maps as if I was Stanley Livingstone walking around in a jungle, you know, literally with a piece of paper in my hand, you know, no compass, turning myself around and trying to orient. A colonial park in Racine was a good example. I mean, it is like an African jungle in there. And I got turned about, lost on trails, thought I'd never make it out again alive, and finally found myself at the parking lot again after a few hours and did survive it and came out with a map.
Oh, I tell you what. And explain, tell our listeners how the book is set up, because you've got some nice maps. and some good descriptions, but go ahead and describe that.
Well, the basic, there's a thing called an American Birding Association Guide, which is a standard. If I, for example, want to go visit another state, say I want to go bird New Jersey, for whatever reason that might be, or California, wherever, I would go to a catalog and I'd look up an ABA guide, the ABA guide to North Dakota or Texas. And that guide would do certain things. It would tell me in a logical sequence, guide me around the state to certain places, then describe those places, what birds they have to offer, and then, you know, tell me the mileage, where to turn, how to get there, what hours they're open, etc. Now, I did that basically. Of course, there are some differences with mine. I spend a lot of time going off on tangents. But the basic premise is that you want to identify the best spots and then get on with what birds are important. You know, I prioritize them in what I call a short list. And then to describe why those birds are there, the habitat that goes along with that, and then why the spot is so much fun to bird. And I think that's a lot of this book, is the combination of that, the fact that there are birds there, but why this spot is so special, so unique, and why it is fun to bird there. Because one of the prerequisites for being in the book is that it's birder friendliness. Yeah. Is it pretty? Is it easy on the eyes? Would you return there? Is it safe? Would you recommend it to friends? Is it a kind of place where even if the birds aren't there, you can look at the wildflowers or enjoy the beauty of it? And so those are important to me. And in designing this book, then, of course, you had to have a map. Some of the places provided maps for me. Some of the places like River Edge did. The Schlitz Audubon Center, Nature Center in Milwaukee did. And some of the national wildlife refuges through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service provided me maps. Otherwise, I had to kind of do them on my own, and that was a lot of work. But I think that you have to look for these certain things in a guide, and from there you have to pick, well, you know, which one am I going to go for, and, you know, what will the experience turn out to be like?
Well, and it's certainly a lot of fun to read your book, and as well as learning what birds we're going to hopefully find when we go to these various spots around the state. And I haven't given the phone number, so let me do that. If you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a question for Steve as we talk with him about his book, which is All This and Robins Too, that's the title, A Guide to the 50 or So Best Places to Find Birds in Wisconsin. Maybe you have a question about an area near where you live that you might wonder about. Well, maybe you've got a suggestion of your own. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. And you can also email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. How do you think Wisconsin stacks up in terms of other states and in terms of bird species, maybe especially our neighboring states?
Well, if you look at the surrounding states, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan, you'd find that Wisconsin is very close. Minnesota and Michigan have more. I should say, first of all, that we have 430 species that are officially recognized in the state, and that's growing by a few a year. Illinois has less. Iowa has a bit less. But, you know, all of those states are bigger than us. If you look at the land area, the square miles of those states, Minnesota is actually quite a large state. It's the 14th biggest state in the U.S. And then it's kind of interesting. If you look then down the line, 22nd is Michigan. 23rd is Iowa, 24th is Illinois, and 24th is Wisconsin. So even though some of those states have more birds than us, you could technically say that Wisconsin has more concentrated birdie goodness than any other Midwestern state. Now, I bet that people from Arkansas or New Jersey are proud of their states, too. But, you know, we have so many things. It's a beautiful place. Our state is a beautiful place to work, live, and bird. And I want to keep it that way. That's one of the things that I'm pitching in this book. And I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one that feels strongly about Wisconsin, but I'd actually like to see it get better, greener, healthier, more birds, and more places to find birds.
And you did mention earlier on, as we talk about greening our behaviors, do we stay close to home or do we chase birds and drive 4 hours to see a rare one?
Well, I have been advised by friends that I have to be very, very diplomatic in describing this. Now, first of all, I want to explain that I am a journalist, and one of my jobs is right now I get the opportunity to write for some magazines like Birders World. I've been able to contribute to Birders World, and so I travel all over the place. I have been to 42 states myself, and every year I usually take a flight or two, And so, you know, I can't lecture anybody. You know, I think that the first thing that we have to look at, though, here is, you know, what is important in this? Now, in the back of my book, I list, for example, 10 things that you can do to help Wisconsin keep Wisconsin bird rich. All right, I'm not going to go into that right now, but I made a mistake there. The first thing on that list should be fall in love with birds. And I say that because, you know, if you fall in love with birds, if you're passionate about birds, then, you know, you're gonna work to keep the place good. You're gonna keep the place green. Now, I suppose that you could if you are a person who reuses, reduces, recycles, if you're a person that drives a civic hybrid, and you vote against administrations that view environmentalism as a roadblock to runaway profit, you're a good guy. You're on the side of helping and not hurting. Fly wherever you want to enjoy birds. Drive wherever you want to enjoy birds. You're familiar with Edward Abbey.
Yes.
I'm sure. All right.
Yes.
Was Edward Abbey a good environmentalist? That's a rhetorical question. I mean,
no.
He was. He was a great environmentalist. But Edward Abbey did this aggravating thing. He drove a gas guzzler, if you recall. He loved to brag that he drove a gas guzzler. And he did that, and for reasons that are not totally convincing to me, because he wanted to use up the gas so that we moved on. Right? And so, you know, be like St. Edward, I say. You know, he said, you know, don't only fight for wildlife, but get out there and enjoy it. And I'm gonna go one step further. If there are, for example, 20 people who are advocates for the Myrick Marsh in La Crosse, then, you know, you have 20 people that will fight development around the marsh. But if you have 5,000 people who are advocates for the Myrick Marsh, ain't nobody going to ever propose that ridiculous proposal again. They're going to build a road through it. And that, and see, the bulldozers will not come if there are all these people. So I say, go to Crex, go to the Pershing Wildlife Area, and fall in love with these places, and they will stay green, and we will be the kind of state that preserves our habitat and doesn't let it go to waste.
Good points. Steve Bechkal, our guest today, he is the author of the book All of This and Robins Too, A Guide to the 50 or So Best Places to Find Birds in Wisconsin. We'll take some calls coming up here, but just to remind you, you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking birds today with author Steve Bechkal, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. And Bill in Greenville has a question or comment, so let's go there. Bill, hello. Thanks for waiting.
You're welcome. How are you today?
Great.
Does Steve know if the northern hawk owl gets down into our part of the country?
Bill, where are you from?
Greenville.
Where is that?
Right outside of Appleton.
Oh, okay. Good. See, I don't know every place, do I? You got to help me out.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, well, this year, no. Other years, yes. I mean, there have been explosions of these populations, eruptions, we call them, of northern hawk owl, great gray owl. I think that you would have a very slim chance of seeing a northern hawk owl in Greenville this year. Of course, one of the wonderful things about birding is that anything can happen at any time, and that's why I love the sport. But if you really want to see one, you have to go to some place like the Sac Zim Bog in Minnesota, outside of our state, unfortunately. But they would have them there. And if you take the time and effort to go up there in the middle of winter, it's cold, it's brutal, but I could almost guarantee you would find some winter owls up there, like the great gray or the northern hawk owl.
How about at Hawk Ridge in Minnesota?
Yes, I like to say that the best places to watch hawks in Wisconsin is Duluth. And,
yeah.
So if you go up there, that's a wonderful place. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah. We were up there while the Sharpies and several other hawks were flying south.
Oh, yeah. If you get there on a good day, you can see 5,000 broadwings, a couple thousand sharpshin. I've been up there and seen 11 species of raptors up there, and that's a wonderful spot. And if you go the right weekend in September, they sell brats, and they have speakers out there that have birds in hand, too, so it's
yeah.
A festival.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you for calling. Sherry and Racine, on to you now. Hi, Sherry.
Hello there.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question for Steve. He said he travels to other states. Is it all right if I ask him something about another state?
Well, you can give it a try. We'll see if he's got an answer.
Okay.
What's your question?
Has he traveled in California?
Steve, have you traveled in California?
First of all, Larry, I gotta unveil this. This is my mom calling here. This is my mother from Racine calling here and asking me questions. Mom, you're taking up the phone space now. We can talk at Christmas when we get together.
Well, I just trying to remember when you were camping or whatever, and you said there was that wonderful bird that was so evasive and hanging around the waterfalls. Was that the white-throated swift?
That was a black swift, yeah.
Oh,
and that bird was, I've never seen it.
See,
before.
I was trying to identify it. I'm just a beginner, Larry, so I have to check with my son on everything, and I just wanted to see if he would recognize my voice.
A son is always going to recognize his mother's voice.
and my mom does, she watches from the kitchen window, and she asks a lot of bird questions. In fact, our yard in Racine there, I once saw 16 species of warblers in the silver maple in the backyard one day in May.
Oh,
it was an unforgettable experience. We have quite a wildlife sanctuary back there.
Yeah,
Mom, I'll see you on Christmas Eve. All right.
Thanks, Sherry. Thank you for calling. All right, Ryan and Prairie du Chien, on to you now. Hi, Ryan.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Good.
Oh, beautiful day. Hey, I just want to mention the most I've ever seen birds is really when I'm hunting. Whether it's turkey, deer, whatever, and just sitting, being patient in the woods, waiting for them to come along, you see so many different woodpeckers and nuthatches and all sorts of different birds all over just sitting, being patient. It's kind of brutal right now, but if you can stick it out, you're going to see all sorts of stuff.
Well, you have discovered a couple of principles of bird watching. One is that the best way to bird watch is to let the birds come to you. And obviously, if you are sitting quiet, if you're hunting or you're fishing, if you're just sitting there in the yard, the birds are less intimidated. A car makes a good blind for that matter, too. But you will find that just by immersing yourself in wilderness and in nature, birds will come to you. And the word, you know, we use the word, we chase birds. And really, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is getting into a place that's beautiful, that we enjoy being in, and just letting the birds do their thing, and then being a kind of a quiet observer.
You're absolutely right, Ryan. Thank you very much for calling. Mark in Stone Lake, on to you. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I live in northern Wisconsin, and I've heard of the bird sanctuary in Douglas County, and I'm aware of they do quite a bit of management through burning. And I was wondering what your opinion was of the bird sanctuary in Douglas County.
Well, I know a couple of preserves in Douglas County. The one that I'm thinking of has some sharp-tailed grouse habitat. Is that the one?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have the name of that sanctuary, Mark?
The one that I'm speaking of is just off of Highway 53 in southern Douglas County. I don't know the actual name.
Oh, I wonder if that's near Solon Springs?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's I'm not all familiar. I have birded it and seen some warblers there, but I couldn't tell you much more about that. There are a couple places in Douglas County though that are on my list in my book, and they are the Stones Bridge put in for your canoe on the Bois Brule River, and then Wisconsin Point. And these are very highly rated spots by anyone, especially Wisconsin Point. It's arguably one of the best places in the state to go to. And Douglas County is a very large county, has great habitat, and just about anywhere you go, it has gray jays, and it has a lot of winter finches, and of course the shoreline provides you with a lot of exciting birds like jaegers and, rare ducks. So that's a great county and a great place to go.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Jeff in Elk Mound, your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I have a question. I wanted to know, what would you consider to be your greatest birding accomplishment?
This is funny, too. Now, Larry, all my friends are listening on the phone today, evidently, because Jeff Wolf from Elkhorn, I know Jeff, I work with Jeff, and he evidently wants to get involved here. So my greatest birding experiences in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that'd be like,
your greatest accomplishment?
Birding accomplishment.
I can tell you that. It was collaborating with Hubbard Scientific Industries in Chippewa Falls on the classroom project, the inflatable pigeon. They made an inflatable pigeon, and I got to consult with it, and it's now on the market. I'm an expert on pigeons now. I wrote the book on for their guide, and I advised them on the anatomical structure of the pigeon. So I'm very proud of the fact that my name will go down in history as collaborating on the inflatable pigeon project.
The Inflatable Pigeon Project.
That's right, through Hubbard Scientific Industries in Chippewa Falls, yeah.
Huh.
Well, is that I'm on the spot. I guess that's my answer. I'd say the inflatable pigeon, but you know, I love writing, and so I find it to be a wonderful thing that I finally got a book out, Jeff, and I think that's a lot of fun. I'm very excited about being an author. I was one of those people that when I was little, I wanted to be an author when I grew up, and so to have a book out about birds is a wonderful experience.
And that was kind of a follow-up question that I had. You haven't mentioned yet, where can I purchase your book, say, in the Eau Claire area?
Okay. I have about 8 or 9 outlets right now. You can get it directly from me, and I'm sure at the end we'll talk about that. There's also a Crossroad Bookstore in downtown Eau Claire and Beaver Creek Reserve in Eau Claire, which would be handy for you. The Wild Birds Unlimited Store in Wausau is one of the outlets. Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary in Green Bay. The Ned Hollister Bird Club had some. I think they're out in Beloit. River Edge Nature Center in Newburgh, and by the way, for those of you who are geographically impaired, Newburgh is smack dab between Fredonia and Rubicon. You can also get it at the Crex Wildlife Area Nature Center and at Horicon.
And to get directly from you, what are they? Do you have a website or do you?
I don't yet. I'm working on it. I'm way behind here on this marketing stuff. I'm just a beginner. But you can contact me through gonebirding88@hotmail.com. And I will send you out all the information you need, or you can give me a phone call, too.
Okay, so it's gonebirding88@hotmail.com.
Yeah, and this says something about bird watchers. When I got that name, I wanted Gone Birding, and I had to wait to be 88. There were already 87 people in front of me that picked that email address. So.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks a lot for calling.
See you,
appreciate
Jeff,
it.
Thanks.
And it's, what, $20, did you say, I think?
Yeah, it's $20, including shipping and handling, yes.
Okay, and that includes everything.
That's a bargain.
That's a bargain. Well, I'll tell you what, it's certainly fun reading. Jim in Oconomowoc, hello.
Hello. I'd like to just make a comment and ask a question about our state bird, the robin. It amazes the heck out of me. Like the caller a couple of minutes ago, I spend a lot of time in the woods, and as late as just before duck hunting season ended, which I think was the end of December or November, I have seen, when I've been out rabbit hunting and other times, robins in the woods. You won't see them in anybody's yard, but robins hang around Wisconsin, and they must hang around almost all winter long. And I'm just wondering, what are they eating? What are they feeding on in the woods? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. The robin is, in fact, yeah, you're right. It can hang out all winter long if the conditions are mild, and some winters you will find thousands of them hanging around. Now, what they depend upon is fruit in the winter, dried fruit, whether that's, some crab apples or, some wild fruit like a cranberry. But they're looking for fruit in the winter. And as long as there's open water and fruit, they will hang around. And so when people say they saw the first robin of the year, really, robins in any given year, even a harsh winter, there will always be a few around in the deepest cover where there's some open water, if there's open water. And that can be a yard source, too, a heated water bath. But robins are a very, very smart bird. What they do is the male bird, the male robin, as they get older, they will learn that they will not go as far south. And so the inexperienced birds will take off and head out of here in winter. And the male robins who are smarter will just creep as far as necessary to where the food source is. And that way, when spring comes, they're the first ones back to grab the best territory. And the ones that went farther, that are naive and didn't know any better, are out of luck. And so the robin, and a lot of birds actually use that strategy. They only go as far as necessary. So if the winter is mild, why travel to Louisiana or to Arkansas when you can stay in Eau Claire?
Yeah, makes sense.
By the way, the name of the book, All This and Robins 2, is a pun to anybody who is familiar with the birding history in Wisconsin. Sam Robbins was one of the greatest birders we had in the state.
Yeah.
And so I spelt it with one B, Robbins, but the pun is that we had Sam Robbins as a great ornithologist in the state, and that's kind of a nod to him.
I miss Sam. Talked to him many, many, many times on this program.
I had the chance to bird with him. He was not only a great birder, but a wonderful human being.
Yeah, that is for sure. And speaking of people that you have birded with, you also birded with Dave Sibley, I'm not mistaken, and you interviewed Roger Torrey Peterson.
I am a journalist, and so I have been very fortunate. I got the chance to meet Roger Torrey Peterson at the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum and had a interview with him and a great talk. The whole time I was talking to him, he was the featured artist, and they were trying to pull him away. His wife, Virginia, and the curator were trying to pull him away, and he just wanted to talk. And so I felt kind of guilty, but I'm standing there next to one of my idols, and he wants to talk to me, and I thought, boy, this is one of the greatest moments of my life. David Sibley, he also was coming to the Lee Yawkey Woodson a few years ago, and using my devious journalistic methods, I was able to get a hold of his PR person, and we arranged to meet in Wausau. And so I called up Dan Belter, who is a great regional birder in Wausau, and said, "Hey, Dan, you want to meet David Sibley? Because I'm going to interview him." And then he grabbed Daryl Tesson, who is the authority for birds in the state, and has written the other bird guide for Wisconsin's favorite bird haunts. And we all met with a few other people, and we got this chance to bird with David Sibley in a Wausau park. And I got the chance to do an interview, and ended up doing like an 8-9 minute story for a TV show for him. And that was wonderful. He's a wonderful, soft-spoken, nice guy.
Yep, he definitely is. I've been fortunate to be able to interview him myself and talk with him. Bob in Wauwatosa has a question or comment. Bob, hi.
Good morning. I've got a question about bird-watching binoculars. I'd like to buy my wife a pair for Christmas, and I'm wondering if the old reliable 7x35 binoculars are a good size, or does your guest prefer something else? And I'm especially wondering whether a wide field of vision is better or no.
Okay.
But Bob, there are a couple things. First of all, you want to look at those numbers. At the 35x7 is the magnification versus the field. And so if you divide the one by the other, you always want to get 5 or better. That's the first thing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
All right, 42x8s are even better because they let in more light, they're more powerful, and 42x8s are real popular now. And so those are even better.
Of course, they're bigger and heavier.
What's that?
They're bigger and heavier.
No, not necessarily. The way they make them now, 42x8s, you hardly notice it at all. And yeah, if you're pointing to birds in the treetops, you don't want 10x50s. If you can lean on a car and look at ducks, that's okay. But most of them are lightweight. You want short focusing now, and a lot of them are that. And so you can get great binoculars. Eagle Optics, for example, in Middleton makes some excellent price ranges binoculars. If you can get anything around $300, you don't have to go up to those $1,000 pairs, but anything from usually $150 to $300, you're in a pretty good range of binoculars there. And I would say to look at those. I have a pair of Nikons I use that were wonderful. I think they were Monarchs, I believe. They were very good, too, but they make so many good ones now. Really, you've got to... She should try them out because every birder likes a certain feel, whether the eye cups roll up or down, how it feels in their hands, how it fits their hands, how they like the grip. And so it's a very personal decision, and your wife should probably pick some out herself. So you should take her out and then take her to the store as a gift and let her actually try out a couple pairs of binoculars.
Do you like wide vision, wide field of view?
I have 42x8s, and I see everything I need to in those. They're wonderful light-gathering binoculars, and so... If I need anything else, I go to the scope, which, of course, is not a wide field of view. But, yeah, you're right. If there are birds moving around, the field of view has a lot to do with keeping them in view. But I'd still say if you go to a wider angle, you're going to pay a little more. I guess you can try that. But remember that you have to still divide the two out. And
yeah.
So you always want 5 or better.
Right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. By the way, you can join in, too. We have some open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly here as we talk with Steve Bechtol, who is author of All of This and Robins Too, A Guide to the 50 or So Best Places to Find Birds in Wisconsin. It's a great book. Greg in Madison's up next. Greg, hello.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question here. Steve, maybe this is out of your realm of expertise, I don't know, but how do I keep Cooper Hawks away from my beloved Cardinals?
Uh-huh, your bird feeder. You got a bird feeder.
Oh, a lot of bird feeders. But, a lot of people might really enjoy seeing that, but I don't because I'm afraid they're going to snatch a cardinal.
Yeah, well, that is a dilemma, and I am a person who believes that you've got to appreciate the raptors as much as the cardinals. Now, here's a couple things you can do, though. You can take the feeders down. If ever a Cooper's Hawk is hanging around, you take the feeders down, and the Cooper's Hawks will stop hanging around your bird feeders. And, of course, there will be no robins there, but there will also be no cardinals picked off by the Cooper's Hawks. The other thing you can do is you can help with cover. The cardinals are a cover-loving bird. If you can create some good cover, the cardinal can duck into the yew bush or cedar tree, and they can escape the Cooper's Hawk in most cases with some kind of decent cover. And that's probably the best way to do it. Otherwise, you've got to figure that there's attrition, that, yes, Cooper's Hawks will get a cardinal now and then or some other bird, and that's the balance of life. If that's too hard to watch, then yeah, try taking the feeders down or putting in some cover.
Yeah, and Noel Cutright was mentioning at Thanksgiving time, after if you don't have that cover, go out and grab the Christmas trees from the neighborhood and pack them up around your by your feeder, and that is some instant cover.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
A lot of cover here. And one plus thing about having Cooper hawks coming once in a while, you don't have any blackbirds or starlings hanging around, so that's a big plus.
That is a big plus. good point, Greg.
Here's Thanks. Another thing you could do, too, is you could put out millet, strictly millet, and then one of the only birds that eats millet is a house sparrow, and then the Cooper's hawk would pick off the house sparrows. And so that would be maybe a way to balance it out, too.
Thanks again for calling. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Jeff wonders when and where are the December Audubon bird counts in southwest Wisconsin, and who can you contact for information?
Well, there is a website. The Wisconsin Society for Ornithology has a website. It's the WSO, I think it's wso.org. I don't have that at the tip of my fingers, but if you look on there, you can actually click on the left, and they will go to, I think it's under research or something like that, but you can click on there, and you can see Christmas bird counts, and they will list out every bird count and who leads it and their contact information and the date for it. And southwestern Wisconsin, of course, is far enough away from me that I don't know where and when they're happening, but they're going right now, this Saturday and Sunday, and then the next two weekends after that into the beginning of January. So if you go in there, you can find out or Google it, perhaps WSO, and then look for that information.
All right. Camille in Pierport, Michigan is up next with a question for you. Hi, Camille.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm staying in a place where I don't have easy access to the Internet or my books. So I saw a most unusual bird for me for, you know, being in Michigan all these years, and I wondered if you could tell me what it is.
All right, let's play bird detective.
Okay. It was about 12 inches long, 12 to 14 inches long, mostly black and white, kind of thin, and a skinny neck, long beak, and it had the brightest flash of red on top of its head. It stood out against the snow.
Oh, got it. All right.
Okay.
It's a pileated woodpecker.
A what?
A pileated woodpecker.
I wondered if it might be that. So
that was my guess, too.
Yeah, they are, when you see them up close, they are startlingly huge, and I've never met anybody who sees them close and doesn't stop breathing for a second. Their hearts
stop. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Yes,
it was incredible to see such a large bird here, and it was only 30 feet away. I'm inside the house, and it was checking out all the birdhouses.
Yeah, great bird to have, one of those deep forest birds that's very representative of the northern tier of states and big woods country.
Yeah, and there's you should see more of those, Camille, because where you're located, I've got to believe there are more pileated or pileated, as some people call them, woodpeckers.
Can you tell me what that means, pileated?
Yeah, actually, you can pronounce it either way. Either way is correct, pileated or pileated. They think the word came from pileum, which is the crown or crest of a bird's head. It's probably referring to that reddish crest that's on there.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling.
Enjoy your pileated.
Yes. They are a lot of fun to watch. Joy in Platteville, it's your turn. Hi, Joy.
Hi, I'm really enjoying your show. I wanted to tell you about how I watch birds at my house. I have a deck, a wraparound deck around my house in about an acre of wooded yard. And I put the bird seed all around the railing two or three times during the day and watch the birds. And I see all kinds of birds. Even a redhead woodpecker comes down and eats the seed, and I was surprised about that.
Mm-hmm.
I figured they always peck at the trees, and I was kind of surprised to see them eating the seed around with the other birds.
Sure. Do you have any suet out?
No, just the wild bird seed.
You know, you could try suet. Your woodpeckers would love suet.
Oh, okay.
That'd be a great idea for them if you really want to track them in. But I think the seed... they would eat seed because, obviously, in the winter, there's no insect matter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Unless they can get into a tree and get some burrowing larvae or something. But, you know, the seed is kind of a high-energy substitute, and they
mm-hmm.
not as good as meat or insects, but It wouldn't be bad to stay alive, sure.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm also a retired art teacher, and I do artwork, and I paint a lot of birds. I'm a real bird lover, although I can't identify all the birds. But I was just wondering if you are familiar with this poem by Emily Dickinson. It's a short poem. It says, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all."
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
She writes a couple other bird poems, too, about going to church with a bobolink, for example.
Really?
Yes, and you if you look up, she was inspired by birds to write poetry, and so am I, for that matter. I like to write poetry, too, and bird poems. So.
Yeah, I do, too. I have an art show going on right now with some birds in it.
Good. Well, keep it up. Yeah. I'd love to see your work sometime. I'd be curious to see it.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And as a matter of fact, Steve, you do some painting of yourself, don't you?
I love to paint, but writing has taken over completely. I've got paintings sitting in the basement that I said I was going to have done for my children, and now I'm hoping to get them done for my grandchildren, if ever I have them, because writing has taken over. I really love it, and I spend most of my time outside my day job writing. So I'd love to paint, and maybe I'll get a chance to do that again. Larry, I want to point something out. All these people that call, you know, what's amazing about birding is that you live in your neighborhood, and, you know, the person who works across the street is a teacher, and the other person next to you is a mail carrier. And, you know, and they don't say they're bird watchers. I'll ask people, and they'll say to me, "Oh, you're a bird watcher." I'll say, "Are you a bird watcher?" And they'll say, no, but I feed birds. And I'll say, "No, that makes you a bird watcher." And people, there are so many of us out there, and we are so quiet. And we are this quiet population. My wife is a good example. My wife will tell me, you know, she's married to a bird watcher, but she's not a bird watcher, you know. And I'll get these calls in the middle of the day, "Honey, I just saw this hawk fly across the road. It was flying low over a marsh. It had kind of like this grayish top and this white rump." I go, "Oh, that's a marsh hawk. It's a harrier." "Oh, a harrier." You know, so, you know, I'm on to you, Julie. I know you're a bird watcher, and you can't deny it. Here I just told everybody on public radio.
Well, listen, you got to tell everybody on public radio how to get your book, too, because that's important.
It is important. Again, you can contact me directly at gonebirding88@hotmail.com. And there are outlets. I'm trying to get the book out to more outlets. I'm slowly but surely contacting. I haven't yet contacted a lot of chains. Most of the places I've contacted are nature centers and mom-and-pop bookstores, and I've been working my way out. I've contacted Madison and Racine and other places, and so on. But you can get it, depending on where you live, in Green Bay, at the Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary, at Wild Birds Unlimited in Wausau, at River Edge Nature Center in Newburgh, Crex, they have them there. They are still stocked up. Horicon did have some, and, of course, in Eau Claire. So.
And, of course, they could just write to you and send a check for $20.
That's right. Yeah. Should I give my address?
Yeah, give your address.
All right. It's in Eau Claire. It's 1325 South Farwell. Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
1325 South Farwell, Eau Claire.
54701.
54701, and send a check for $20.
That's right. Now, the second edition that's coming out, I made some nice corrections. I gave it a heavier paper cover, and it now has a wraparound cover, so there's a tucked-in spine, and on it you get the bonus of the top 10 reasons why you ought to bird in Wisconsin in the new version, as well as a photograph and some review quotes. And so it's a better bargain all the way around. I also made some corrections. I had some typos in there, and I got rid of those. So it's a better book all the way around.
Oh, well, it's I tell you what, Steve, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Maybe you'll come back and be with us again.
Anytime, Larry.
Great fun to have you back.
Thank you.
And Steve Bechkal, our guest, and his name, by the way, his last name is spelled Betchkal. And have I been pronouncing it right?
You sure have, Larry.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll look forward to another visit.
Thank you, Larry, for inviting me.
Appreciate it. Steve Bechkal of Eau Claire, and his book is All of This and Robins Too, A Guide to the 50 or So Best Places to Find Birds in Wisconsin, $20. Send a note to him at 1325 South Farwell in Eau Claire. The zip code is 54701. Throw in a check for $20, and he'll send you a copy of his book. It's really written in a nice conversational style, which I enjoy very much. And I tell you what, I've enjoyed reading another book and looking through another book called Urban Wilderness, Exploring a Metropolitan Watershed. Eddie Daniel is the author, and we'll be talking with Eddie Daniel next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.